This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. Young adult novels often cast sugary love stories that almost echo fairy tales. But Amber Smith's YA books take on some grittier topics, like domestic violence and sexual assault. Her latest book features two teens who are each going through their own trauma. Maya is trying to navigate her shifting identity after the death of her older sister, and Chris is a transgender boy who's still processing an assault he survived the year before. Can these two teens push past their traumas and find love? That's the premise for Something Like Gravity. It's the latest book from best-selling author Amber Smith. She joins us now from WFAE in Charlotte. Amber, welcome.
Hi, Anita. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the plot of Something Like Gravity.
Well, as you said, it's a story about falling in love for the first time, but it's also a story about finding yourself in the process. And so it's told across one summer through the alternating points of view of the two main characters, Chris and Maya. And it's really about how, even though these two characters' lives look so different, what brings them together is that they are each really struggling to navigate the changing landscape of their lives in the face of these really different but life-changing situations that they've gone through.
So we mentioned at the top that Chris is a transgender boy, and this is the first time that you have written a trans character. Can you talk about how you got into the mind of Chris as someone who's not trans and this experience of writing a trans character for the first time?
Yeah, great question. So yes, I'm not transgender, but I am queer. And so I really drew on a lot of my own personal experiences with coming out and the way that that really changed my life in drastic ways. You know, but I also really looked at some of the more difficult things I experienced in my life as a result of being queer. So, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, I just felt such dread and uncertainty about, you know, my future, whether I would be safe or, you know, have equal rights. And, you know, when I look at what's going on today, I really see a lot of my own experiences when I was coming of age and coming out as a teenager in the 90s. You know, I see a lot of what I went through being repeated right now with queer youth, particularly those who identify as trans or non-binary.
I know you were really intentional about portraying both the physical and emotional aspects of being trans and in this particular point that Chris is in his transition. Can you talk about the research that you put into getting that right and some of the conversations that you had with trans readers who helped you really write Chris in a particular way?
Yeah, absolutely. It was so important to me to get outside perspectives, you know, rather than just my own, because yes, maybe I can speak to the emotional world of Chris as a queer person, but I really wanted to make sure I was taking into account the viewpoints of people who do identify as trans. And so I had several different readers read the manuscript and provide feedback specifically about Chris and his narrative. So readers who either identified as non-binary or trans themselves. And it was really that was a really important step for me in the evolution of this book, because, you know, I went into asking for this feedback from these readers very worried about the more technical or practical side of Chris's narrative. So, you know, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, am I going to get the hormone therapy details right, or details about his transition? And, you know, I think I was sort of focused more on things like that. How do you safely wear binders? That kind of practical stuff. And I found that a lot of the things that I was sort of worried that I had gotten wrong were not the things that a lot of my trans or non-binary readers pointed out to me as being problematic. So I was so happy that I reached out for that feedback, because, you know, the last thing I would want is to misrepresent Chris as a trans man.
They pointed you more toward things they think you got wrong about his internal world. And I want you to take us a little bit into his internal world now with the first reading that you have prepared for us, I think.
Yeah, sure thing. Chris, we are made of star stuff, I whispered to myself. Carl Sagan famously said it decades ago. I have a poster with that quote hanging on my bedroom wall back home. That's what I think about when I feel alone. That's what I see when I look out there into the universe. It means we're all connected. Everything we are and everything we know, everything we see and touch and feel, life, all of it came from out there. Except the real beauty of it is, when you get down to it, there is no out there or in here. When a star goes supernova, expanding until it can no longer withstand its own gravitational force, it collapses and explodes. And from its remains comes all of this. We exist, everything we are, because a star died. Sometimes I wonder if maybe this is what religion feels like.
North Carolina author Amber Smith reading from her new young adult novel, Something Like Gravity. She'll be at Malaprop's bookstore in Asheville on Wednesday, July 24th, and at the Heck Yeah Book Fest in Davidson on Saturday, July 27th. What an amazing name for a book festival. So we got a little bit of insight into Chris's internal world. He is a deep thinker, and he's really trying to make sense of where he fits in the bigger picture. He's recently experienced a really traumatic assault, and then is now spending the summer with his aunt trying to kind of rebuild his sense of identity amidst all of this. Can you talk about the way that this violence unfolds in the story? And it's paced in such an interesting way, I found. It unravels really slowly. So as a reader, you're getting a little bit more every time, but it takes a long time to get the full picture of what happened.
Yeah. So violence is a topic I feel very drawn to. It's something that's very important to me, particularly gendered violence. And so I really was conscious of the way I wanted this assault to kind of unfold in the story. And so it does, like you said, it unfolds very slowly throughout the book. And I really wanted the reader to be their understanding of this assault and its impact on Chris to be evolving at the same time that Chris's own understanding of this assault is evolving as well. So I wanted to kind of sprinkle it in a way that did not link that assault with Chris coming out, but rather as something that he had to integrate into his identity as something that was very life-changing for him.
I want to switch gears and talk about Maya, who is the other character in this book and becomes the other character in this love story. She and her parents live kind of across the way from Chris this summer, and she's going through her own experience of grief, trying to make sense of life after recently losing her sister. Could you read a bit from Maya's perspective for us?
Sure. Maya. When you pass my school, you can't help but notice the giant boulder perched out on the front lawn. 6 months ago, the senior class repainted it in Mallory's honor. They let me help too, even though I was only a junior, because, after all, I was her sister. We decorated it with bright colors and pictures of white birds and feathers and hearts and crosses. The thing was, I didn't even want to help. I'm sure that makes me a terrible person, but what would I say? What could I say? If you've always been defined, not as a full-fledged person, but solely as another person's polar opposite. And that person no longer exists. Do you also cease to exist? Those were the words I really wanted to paint on the surface of that rock. That was the question that had been on my mind, the one I knew I wasn't supposed to ask out loud.
North Carolina author Amber Smith reading from her new young adult novel, Something Like Gravity. She'll be at Malaprop's bookstore in Asheville on Wednesday, July 24th, and at Heck Yeah Book Fest in Davidson on Saturday, July 27th. So Maya is navigating this family structure that was already falling apart before her sister passed away, and now her sister has passed. Take me into what it's like to write about a grieving teenager and what you wanted to explore about her experience.
Well, you know, whenever I'm writing characters, I think I always imagine myself when I was a teenager and the kinds of things that I went through and, you know, what kind of stories would have made me feel less alone. And so that comes out in both Chris and Maya's stories. And with Maya, I think I really wanted to process my own grief of, you know, losing someone I've lost, someone I loved, rather, which most recently was, you know, not my sister, but my father. And so I really infused Maya's story with a lot of my own experiences. And, you know, one of the things that was so poignant for me, you know, when I was going through my grieving process of my father, was that, you know, I just, even though I was an adult at the time, I just was not prepared at all for how much that loss was going to change me and my identity and make me kind of rethink a lot of, you know, the past and family life. And so that's something that I wanted to show Maya processing as well.
When you started writing these stories, they were originally two separate books. You were writing Chris's story and you were writing Maya's story. How did the idea come to you to put them together and have them fall in love?
Oh, yes, that's right. So I originally was writing these as two separate books that I was working on at the same time. And Chris's was primarily about coming out and transitioning. And, you know, that was kind of it. And Maya's was a story that was truly only about grief. And I just felt like there was something missing from each of these stories. And I remember I had the idea of giving Chris a love interest as a way of bringing in some light and you know, and new energy into his life that was very, very lonely. And when I started thinking about the type of person that would be really good for Chris and would kind of help him evolve his own self-acceptance and come out of his shell, I immediately thought of Maya, this other character that I was working on. And it was sort of like a big light bulb moment. I realized, wow, you know, the thing that was missing from each of their stories was each other. And so I started combining their stories and focusing really on the love story aspect as opposed to the coming out and the grieving process.
One of the things that struck me in reading this book is the role that the parents play, both Chris's parents in responding to his coming out and Maya's parents in responding or not really responding to her experience of grief. And I wondered whether you think of yourself as writing books for parents, and is there value to parents reading these books to better understand kind of what their teenagers may be going through who are experiencing any kind of trauma?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, in fact, I do hear from a lot of parents and adults who read my books. And, you know, so I think on a lot of levels, reading young adult books can help parents relate to their kids. But also, I think young adult, you know, YA books in general are read by a lot of adults because we've all gone through, you know, the coming of age process. And I think a lot of us have old wounds that are still present in our, inner teenagers that need to be healed. So I think adults kind of approach young adult books on a lot of levels, either as parents or, kind of trying to take care of their own past selves.
Are you writing for your own parents in any way?
Oh, wow. That's a really interesting question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. I think with this book in particular, since the parents of both Chris and Maya play such a big role in the book and their challenges in dealing with their parents, I think that does reflect actually a lot of my own upbringing and my involvement with my parents and just the way that they evolve over time. And I think that's what we see with Chris and Maya's parents as well, that they grow and they change. And that was something that I've definitely experienced as I get older and my relationships with my own parents have changed.
There's a really tender note that you write at the very end to young readers expressing that you want them to not feel alone. We don't have much time left, but could you talk about kind of what you want to say to those young readers who may be reading your book and seeing a kind of representation that they don't see a lot of in other places?
Yeah, I mean, that is my main hope for this book, is that readers who identify with both the things that Chris and Maya are going through, whether that's being queer or coming out or processing trauma and grief, that they see in Chris and Maya that they're not alone in what they're going through, that they are seen and understood and validated.
Amber Smith is a best-selling author of teen novels. Her latest book is Something Like Gravity. Amber, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anita.
You can find Dates for Amber's reading at Malapop's Bookstore and Heck Yeah Book Fest, both at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, Grant Hall of Mormon. Robin Copley is the technical director. Jenny Lawson engineered the show. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao.